Ezekiel's a 25-year-old priest in Jerusalem in the temple. And Israel's overtaken. Jerusalem is basically leveled, kind of like the pictures of Gaza you see in the news today. Ezekiel, along with the king, 10,000 other Jewish people are exiled into Babylon, taken away. And there they are. Ezekiel's name, by the way, means strengthened by God. And no doubt that the visions that he got and the tales that he tells encourage those that have been exiled, as well as encouraging those even back that still remained back in Judea. The vision there is not just for Israel, it's for all of mankind. It's for his fellow exiles and for everyone. And this vision that is described as the Valley of Dry Bones coming to life, it's prophetic in that it is not just for that moment, but we can certainly try to apply it into our own lives and the people of God. For that's what the Jews were at the time, the people of God. And now we are, by the grace of God, also called children of God, adopted into his fellowship. Ezekiel mourns the desolation of his city. The temple's gone and it's in ruins. All his hopes, all his dreams, kind of vanquished and vanished. All his friends scattered around, and he's taken to that new land. And there he catches a vision, this vision. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among those bones, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, and bones that were very dry. Ezekiel didn't ask for a revelation. He didn't pray for a revival. He didn't wander into some graveyard by accident. Listen carefully. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me by the Spirit of the Lord in the middle of the valley. The Holy Spirit of God had led him there. The Holy Spirit of God had something to show him. So here's your first slide. So the Holy Spirit of God will lead you into places you maybe would rather not go. Places that ain't so pretty. The Lord will show you things that defy the imagination. He'll show you the spiritual realms that can haunt you, that are meant to educate you. This was not a glimpse of heaven. This was not a picture of some singing angels. This was not the pearly gates and the streets of gold. This was not the throne room of God and cherubim singing around and dancing. This is a dead, dry valley of lifeless bones, desolate. This man of God, this prophet, this priest, God doesn't pick him up, and he brings him down into the pits of death, and not new death, ancient death, desolate death, down into the depths of wasted lives. There's no tombstones. There's no memorial service going on here. There's no burial plots. Dead, dusty, forgotten wasteland. Listen carefully, church. Here's your next slide. Because revival starts not in glory, but in the ruins. It starts in the ruins. There's a reason this place is called the wreck room. These are the moments where God will wreck you. This is the place of restoration in the ruins, reconciliation among the ruins, regeneration among that which is dead and lifeless among the ruins. The moment he takes you down, and you can see your own depravity, you catch a glimpse of the worn, torn battle of your own life. You see the dryness of your own life chasing after your own ways. You see the degradation of your own wages of sin, which has led you to nothingness. It ain't always pretty what the Lord wants to show you. But the hand of the Lord is upon you. And by the Holy Spirit of God, he has led you to a place that looks like ruins. And oftentimes it's the degradation of your own life and your own sin. And I'm trying to tell you, that's exactly where transformation takes place. Here in the ruins, God will lead you to take a look at what's around you. God will lead you to take a look at what's in you. Lifeless relationships, lifeless friendships. God will show you how empty, how pointless, and even how meaningless, or even how much vanity is in your own life and how much pride you have. He will show you things that ain't so pretty about you. God will bring you right into the valley of bones, and you don't get to skip around it. You don't get to skip over it. You can try as you might to ignore it, but Ezekiel planted right in the middle of them. And he walked back and forth. He studied and he examined and he looked at all the lifeless, dusty remains. Intentionally, God will show you. Intentionally, God will lead you to take a look at your life, to take a look at your sin. Intentionally, God will tell you and lead you. Look at your marriage. Look at your relationships. Look at your money. Look at your children. You will have to think about the choices that you have made and that you will make. And sometimes it ain't always so pretty. And listen, this is the crisis of faith. This is the crisis of faith. This is the confrontation of your own ways with God's ways, with your own soul with God. Before the Lord will let you see resurrection and resuscitation and rebirth and regeneration, he will make you look at the ruins. Admit you are a sinner. He will make you look at the ruins before he resurrects you. He will make you take account of your life, your attitude, your behavior, the ways that have oftentimes left us pretty dry and sometimes on the verge of just dead. And sometimes people have been meandering around the dust of the dead bones of their own lives for years. Far too many are living blindly among the dead. And far too many can't see their own sin in their own lives. They can't see the death that permeates the relationship, the stench that encircles their marriage. You know, the smell of death surrounds you. But here's your next slide. God will break you to remake you. God still does this. Do you believe it? Before he resurrects you, he makes you look at what's dead, about what's dry, about what's lifeless, the addictions, the depression, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, the unforgiveness, the betrayal, the sin, the error. You want to speak life, but you don't even know what's dead. You want to put it all back together, but you don't know what's broken. You have to look deep into your own life and deep into your own heart. And God will lead you there by the Holy Spirit of God intentionally. And you'll be broken among the ruins so that he might remake you. Ezekiel stands in that valley and God asks the question. Aren't we the ones usually asking the questions? Why, God, am I in the valley? Why, God, am I seeing all the dry bones? Why, God, have you led me here? Why, God, am I feeling this way? Please, Lord, help me. Aren't we the ones usually asking all the questions? This time, God's asking you a question. Son of man, he says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? You take account of your own life. Can these bones live? As bad as I've been, as tormented as I've been, sinful as I've been, as far away from God as I've been, can these bones live? As long as I've been in the dry valley kicking up dust, can these bones, God, can these bones live? This is not the Lord asking for his opinion. This is the Lord forcing the prophet to consider what he sees with what he believes. This is the crisis of faith. This is the crisis of confrontation of your own soul. Will you live by sight or will you live by faith? Will you live by what your eyes see or will you live by the word of God? This Ezekiel, listen, he's trained as a minister. He's trained to be in the temple where it's all clean and sanctified and purified and washed and orderly and methodical. This is Ezekiel. He's trained to be in the temple where everything's kind of nice and tidy. That's all gone. That's all gone. This vision shakes him to the core. This is not what he expected. This is not the environment he desired. God doesn't always send the prophet to the pulpit. Sometimes he sends him into the graveyards. Sends him into the pits. Sends him into the ruins. These are the ruins of Israel. These are the ruins of the church. Dry, spiritually dead. This is the ruins of mankind. Here the Lord's asking the question, can these bones live? Just as if he's asking you, just as if he's testing you, just as if he's challenging you. Not because God doesn't know the answer, but do you know how you would answer? Well, maybe if I prayed more, maybe if I gave more, maybe if I studied more. Maybe if I, how selfish and self-centered of you to think you can do something. This is the point. Ezekiel knows he's helpless. Helpless. Walking amongst the spiritually dead, the physically dead, dry, desolate. Can these bones live? He's limited. He recognizes and admits, what can he do amongst all the death? What can he do amongst all the decay? What can he do amongst all the destruction? God is forcing the prophet to admit that he's limited, and God will force you into the very same place where you have to admit it also. You come to the end of yourself. What do you do when you look around and you see nothing but dead people? Can these bones live? Ezekiel, in all his wisdom, I wonder how long it took him to come up with the answer. Sovereign Lord, you alone know. God does not bring Ezekiel into the valley so that he might cry and mourn. He doesn't bring him in there to punish him. He doesn't bring him in there so that he might cry over the dry bones. He brings them there to see and to speak. Here's your next slide. What if all your trials, what if all your troubles, what if all your valleys, they aren't punishment, but they're placement? Led by God on purpose to be in that place you scream about, that place you'd rather not be, a place that sometimes you're afraid of, that place you don't like, a place of dryness, maybe even spiritual dryness, financial dryness, emotionally heavy. There are major differences between those that walk in the valley and those that walk in the valley with God. One, walking through the valley would echo about all the dryness, about all the hopelessness that's around them. They would even take pictures. Others would defy what they see and walk by the word of God. One walking in that valley would shout out, "What happened here? Whose fault is this?" and start to blame everything and everyone, while another walking through that same valley would watch and wait to hear from God. One walking in that valley would see defeat. They would react in anger and react in judgment. The other would stand on the word of God. He told Ezekiel, prophesy to those bones. Prophesy to those bones. And say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Many of us have the wrong idea about the valleys that we find ourselves in. We wander around all the dry bones and we feel like we're walking among the dead. We're kicking up all the dust. We meander to and fro, sometimes for years, and we're kicking up all the dust that's around us when all we see is death, dead friendships, dead relationships, dead finances, dead marriages, dead dreams, a lifeless existence. And we see the world in ruins and we wonder why God hasn't taken us out of it yet. The deep-seated truth is you are not in the valley to survive it. You are in the valley to speak to it. God brought Ezekiel into a place that wasn't pretty. And maybe you've been in places that ain't so pretty. Maybe you are there now. Divorce and addictions and bankruptcy is an untimely death. It's not what you wanted. It's not what you expected. It's not the diagnosis that you were hoping for. Your children are wandering far from the Lord. God did not ask Ezekiel to write a poem about it. He did not ask Ezekiel to write a sermon about it. He did not ask Ezekiel to post on social media all the death he sees around him. God didn't ask him, would you rate your experience in church today? God said to Ezekiel, speak to those dry bones. Speak to those dry bones. Speak to that which is dead. Speak to that which you see is spiritually dead. Prophesy, hear the word of the Lord. Listen, not your opinion. Hear the word of the Lord. Why? Why? Because God's word is anointed with power. God's word breaks through the darkness. In the beginning, God spoke. In the beginning, God said. And the word became reality. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be water, and there was water. Let there be creatures of all kinds, and there were creatures of all kinds. The word became flesh. And dwelt among us. You speak God's word with power. God's word still creates. Do you believe that? God's word still creates. God spoke and nothing became everything. God's word still brings forth form out of nothingness. Life from the ashes. And listen, here's your next slide. Listen, dead bones don't respond to your thoughts. They don't respond to your opinions. Dead bones respond to the word of God. That's what they respond to. And as long as you think your therapy, your programs, your charisma, your talent, your intellect, your denominations, or your government can fix the dry bones, you will not prophesy. You'll think there's some other method that will take care and can raise the dead bones into life. You will not speak the word of God to the bones. You'll look to man's methods. You won't trust the word of God. You won't walk as a new creation in Christ. There is only one way, the word of God. The word became flesh. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. God is not asking you to believe in the bones. He's asking you to believe in his word, in his voice, believe in his ways. And maybe that's why you feel so stuck sometimes, in a valley sometimes for so long. You've been performing. You've been posting. You've been complaining. You've been debating. You've been kicking and fighting amongst all the dry bones. Or you're looking to man's methods. You're looking to sex and drugs and personal pleasures as if this is going to solve all your issues. You have not been prophesying into your circumstance or situation. And maybe it's just like Jeff said last week. Maybe it's time we get serious. Get serious about our walk with God. Get serious about the word of God. Get serious about our own spiritual development and the power that we possess as his children, walking among all the spiritually dead. And maybe your valley is not about exile. Maybe it's about environment. Maybe it's about environment. Maybe it's not about punishment. Maybe it's about that placement. Have I been exiled to New Life Alliance Church, or have I been placed by God? Have I been exiled into my hospital bed, or have I been placed by God? God does his best work in the ruins. He does his best work in the ruins. Among the broken, among the surrendered, among those that are listening, among the hungry for his word. Is that you? Are you hungry for his word? If that's you, give me an amen. Are you eager to be led by the Holy Spirit? Give me an amen. Well, be very careful, because where the Holy Spirit will lead you may not be some pretty places, but it may be just for you and what God wants to do with you, in you, and through you. Because it's not about who you are. It's not about where you are. It's not even about when you are. It's all about him, his word, his voice, and the life that he desires to work through you. So here's your next slide. Listen, personal revival begins at the end of yourself. You're looking for something in your own life, something personal that's going to jazz you up, something that's going to alleviate your pains, to get you out of the ruins that you find yourself stuck in. Personal revival begins at the end of yourself. You don't need perfect situations. You don't need the right clothes. You don't need crowds. You don't need other people's opinions. You need to stand in the middle of your valley and speak the word of God into your valley. Listen, this is me. Every sermon you've ever heard, this is me every week. I look at blank page. I look at a blank page. I got no ideas. I got nothing, Lord. I'm empty. There's writer's block. I'm not even capable. I'm certainly not worthy. I come to the end of myself. You speak through these pages. Let your truth ring through the congregation. Let these words be your words to bring life into the sanctuary, life into the community, life into the hearts of people, so that there may be life among the ashes, life among the pain, healing among the sick, breakthroughs among the addictions, restoration of all that is broken. Bring life, Lord, to those dry bones. You have to do it. I can't do it. I don't have the right words. I know. Only you, sovereign Lord, know. And he says nothing but speak to those dry bones. Prophesy to those dry bones. Speak life into them. Are you looking at your own dry valley? Is it because you haven't spoken? Is it because you remain silent and complain and debate about the dry bones that are around you? Here's your next slide. God's word still brings life. Ezekiel spoke not to describe. Ezekiel spoke not to write a blog. Ezekiel spoke not to mourn, not to cry, not to debate. Ezekiel spoke to prophesy, to speak into the silence of those ruins. And listen, I hope you catch this, listen. That's when the bones began to rattle. That's when the bones began to rattle. That's when the bones began to rattle. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was speaking, as I was prophesying, there was a noise. A rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. God did not hand Ezekiel a sword. He didn't hand him a slingshot with smooth stones. He gave Ezekiel a sentence. The word of God. He gave him words, not just any words, God's word. Not a predictable pattern of platitudes or poetic sayings. He spoke God's word, his only weapon, and the only weapon he would need. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This has not changed. God still desires his people to speak to the dry bones, to that which lies in ruins. Those that are dead need to hear the word of God. Not your opinion. Not your debates. Not what you think it might be like. They need to hear the word of God. Like you need to hear the word of God. That it penetrates deep into the depths of your soul and brings life to you. They need it too. I can't even begin to tell you how valuable this is, how important this is to your spiritual life. The problem is, we don't prophesy. The problem is, we don't speak life. We don't speak life. We describe the pain. We talk about how long we've been in the dry valley. We talk about how dry it is and depression and despair and all the pain. We complain and we gossip and we see the evil that's all around the world and we pass judgment upon that which is already dead. And we're withering away. We stand among the ruins and we wonder why God doesn't do something. And he did. He sent the Holy Spirit-filled believer right into the middle of it. The problem is dry bones and dead lives. They do not respond to your opinions, your complaints, or your debating. Dead bones rattle when someone opens their mouth with the word of God. I can't express enough how you must break through the fear of suppressing God's word and speak. You must shatter the idea that thinking God thoughts is enough to rattle the bones. You've got to break through that thinking good thoughts is enough to rattle the bones of your children, to rattle the bones of your spouse, to rattle the bones of your friendships and your relationships. You must speak it. Speak it out loud, not think it. Speak it. You must fill the atmosphere with God's word. You must flood the atmosphere with God's word. Flood your relationships. You can't say, I'll pray for you and never utter a word of prayer. That makes you a liar and a hypocrite. We speak the negative. We speak the illness. We can't shut up about our problems. We can't shut up about how hard it is and how dry it is and it's a lifeless, dry existence and everything, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. We've got to prophesy to the dry bones. We have to speak into it. Will you live by sight or will you live by faith? Will you live by man's opinion and your opinion or will you live by the word of God? Those bones do not rattle. They will not change with your good intentions or even with your generosity. Bones rattle when the word of God is spoken. The word of God permeates the perimeters of your lips, and you hear yourself proclaiming the word of God, and someone else hears you proclaiming the word of God, and life enters, and life enters. You want the next level of spirituality in your life? You want the next level of personal revival in your life? Speak it. Quit holding it in. Speak the word of God. Bring it into existence. You want victory over your battles? Speak it. You want deeper knowledge of God? Prophesy. You want to see the ruins rebuilt? Talk to the ruins. God's word still creates. God's word still convicts. God's word still converts. God's word still provokes. And he'll provoke you. He will lead you to a place where you will make a choice. I will remain silent in the midst of all the dryness and all the death in the valley, or I'm going to speak life and speak the word of God. And you wonder why you're still stuck in the valley of dry bones. You wonder why I'm always trying to get people to move to pray out loud, the barriers of your own fear. To break the barriers of your own fear, to shatter the walls of the lies that have been erected in your own mind that destroy your spiritual life. More than anything, desire for you to experience the power that God has for you. To break the cycle of dryness in your own life, to break the cycle of dryness in your own prayer life. The routine of remaining silent with God's word just held up within you instead of speaking it into the world. You won't speak the word of God to the dry places if you're trapped in your own fear. You won't speak the word of God into your ruins and into the dry places because you're entangled in your own selfish pride. You're manipulated by others, not motivated by the word of God. You simply do not believe that your words have power. You simply do not believe that God's word has power. God said, prophesy. Speak to those bones. Listen, I'm telling you. Speak. Pray out loud. Even if everything inside you says this feels awkward and foolish, speak. Stutter. Stammer. But get the words out. Trip over the passages of God. Paraphrase the passages of God. But speak the word of God. This now moves you into a place of prophetic obedience. Prophetic obedience. Many will never rise to the place of prophetic obedience. God said, speak. And you'll never get there because you won't speak. But if you can get there, if you can speak, if you can prophesy, if you can breathe the life of God's word, then when everyone else is complaining, you're prophesying. When everyone else sees death, you see the life that God can bring. When everyone else sees defeat, you see glorious victory. When everyone else sees failure, you see opportunity. When everyone else sees the chains, you see the chains broken and people set free. Can these bones live? Can these dry bones live? And with spiritual eyes, you will see things you would rather not. You will see things you would rather not. But with a spiritual voice, with a spiritual voice, you will speak life into the ugliness. You will speak life into the hopelessness. You will speak life into the ruins. And you will speak life into the sinful behaviors of dry bones and people and the wages of their death. You will be in prophetic obedience, speaking the word of God. There's no rattling of bones until the word is spoken. Not thought about, spoken. Not well wishes, spoken. Not good intentions, spoken. Because real faith doesn't start when something stirs. Real faith doesn't start when something stirs. Real faith stirs it up. There's your next one. I've already said it countless times. Nothing happens until the word was spoken. And God is not powerless. He has chosen to work through his people. God's not powerless, but he has made a choice to work through his people. He has chosen to reveal his power through his children. If you're blood-bought and spirit-filled, you're one of his children. Are you one of his disciples? Do you see it? There is no movement without the word. The word becomes flesh and dwells among us. The word dwells within you, and you speak it and creates. The word of God within you. God has chosen to do this. Can he do it? Of course God can do it. But he made a choice that he would show himself to the world, the dry bones, the ruins, through you. In you. First in you, and then through you. Too many are walking around looking for a sign when God's waiting for a sound of your voice amongst the ruins, your voice amongst the darkness, to speak light, to speak life. I don't know what you're waiting for, but I know what God's waiting for. And if you're bound up in your selfish pride or bound up in your fear, this is what you've got to break through, that you might speak. And then what happens? The rattling starts. The rattling starts, and then the bones and tendons and the ligaments, they all start to come together. I can't even imagine the vision, the sight. I can't imagine that it looks delightful. I can't imagine that it sounds like a choir singing hymns. It's probably not a quiet brook by a calm pond. It's probably skulls rolling, right? Bones tousling and coming together and clicking together and hearing all the sounds. And then they have all the form. They have all the form. They come back together and there they are. A sight to behold, all the form of the living, all the structure, their statues of possibility, their structures of possibility. created and looking like in the image even of what God is doing. But there's no life. There's no life. Why is there no life? See, this isn't just about Israel. This is about churches. This is about believers. This is about relationships. They have all the structure. They have all the form, but they have no life. People live together and pretend to be married, but they have no sacrament of blessing. They have all the form, but they have no life. You can chant your prayers without the presence of God. You can sing your heart out and never worship. You can preach the sermons and give all your gifts, all without ever knowing the power and the presence of God. Ezekiel saw what God wanted him to see. The bodies are all formed. The muscles are all aligned. The tendons are holding everything together. Skins grafted upon them. And they look magnificent. Thousands of them, but no life. They're still dead. There's no life until the breath of God. So he said to me, he has to prophesy again. He says to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up upon their feet, a vast army. And the Hebrew word for life and breath and wind is ruach. There's, I get your next slide. Until ruach enters their life form, they only have structure. They only have form. They only have appearance. They have no life. The same ruach that hovered over the waters in Genesis, the same ruach that filled Adam's lungs in the garden, the same ruach that Jesus promised us to fill his believers. There is no life without the ruach of God. God told Ezekiel, speak. Speak again, not to the bones. Speak to the ruach. Speak to the Spirit of God, to the four winds, to the winds of life. The ruach that brings the life. The ruach that brings healing. The ruach that brings the knowledge and the victory and the power in your life and all the knowledge and understanding of who God is, that you might be able to walk in his ways. Only the ruach can bring dead things to life. You can't. You've got to know your own limitations. And when you're sitting in the middle of the dry bones, you recognize, I can do nothing. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. And when you get there, God begins to do everything. Today's a day you get to receive the ruach and walk in the ruach and the life of the Spirit of God. Today's about your sin. It's about your dry places. It's about the blessings that God has for your life. It's about your existence and your experiences and your voice. All you have to do is look around and see all the dead, dry bones. Bones, bones, bones everywhere. In your own life and in around the world. Speak. Speak. Prophesy into those dry bones. Speak life into your own circumstances. Use your voice to speak God's word. Let me pray with you, Father in heaven. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to gather together, to hear of your word, learn of your word. Thank you for what you've shown Ezekiel that was able to show us. And Father, I pray that we would continue to be able to stand strong in your word. Bind us together as a family of believers, Father, that come to life in the ruach of God, in the Spirit of God. Give us voice. Come before you in the name of your Son. Amen.